What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. My guest with this week is a first-time guest, and I've known this guy for a very long time. He is a comedian and a podcaster and a producer of sorts, and I guess in today's verbiage we'd call him a content creator. Is that will you wear that?
I'll accept that.
His name's Brian Woolridge. You can hear him on the NO Sports podcast. It's a pod that he just launched. Brian and I go way back in that I met him probably about 15 years ago doing...
Yeah, it would have had to have been like 2007, 2006, 7-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere there.
Right around 15 years ago in the stand-up comedy world. And so welcome, first-time guest to Taking the Over, Brian Woolridge. Brian, what's up, man? Welcome to Taking Over. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Today was a fantastically lazy day of just kind of like catching up on fantasy stuff. So it was a pretty solid day as far as like sports oriented mindset goes. But yeah, man, we go way back, man. I used to produce shows back then. So right. It was a weird dynamic for you to be the talent and me to be the producer. And I was like, yeah, this like 16, 17 year old kid.
Brian was literally 16, 17 years old when I met him, and he was producing comedy shows as a 16.
Well, to be fair, at the 16, 17 year old time, I was still like, I guess, kind of quote unquote working under people.
Right.
Well, but yeah,
you weren't allowed to go to bars.
Yeah, no, I basically needed, you know, someone who was like 18, yeah, 21 older to like vouch for me. But like, as far as the comedy content goes, yeah, I was running the mics and like, you know, keeping track of everything. For all intents and purposes, I was kind of managing it outside of booking back then. And then I want to say around 2008, 2009, that's when like booking kind of got handed over to me. Mm-hmm. So... But yeah, I was definitely familiar with you as a regular comic in the Baton Rouge scene.
I remember. So yeah, it came up in the Baton Rouge comedy scene, and over time progressed to where I was doing like, you know, paid shows here and there, bar shows here and there, as far east as Florida and as far west as Houston. And then just kind of shut it all down eventually one day. But man, I remember I used to host the Mid-City Open Mic in Baton Rouge, which was the oldest running Baton Rouge open mic. It was at Phil Brady's
Bar. The oldest room.
Yeah, the oldest room. And it was at Phil Brady's Bar. Or was it Monday nights, I want to say? I think it was Monday night.
It was either Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday. Dude, I remember. So you're this young kid, and you decided to start an open mic.
Well, no, okay,
same day, so at the same time.
Yeah, okay. So do you want like kind of like my back history as far as like how I got into it? Because I didn't choose that. Again, well, referencing the people.
I went to your house. You remember?
Was it my house?
Yeah, I went to your apartment. I went to somebody's apartment. I went to your apartment. And I was pissed.
Well, that would have been after I took over for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if it was after,
I was like, why are you doing an open mic on the same night and the same time as the oldest, most established open mic in town?
When a venue you like offers you a night and time that like you can make work, I didn't say no. I almost I got into a fight with the guy who ran Delete Comedy on Wednesday night, because we were almost going to run a show on Wednesday nights.
Yeah, you're just booking shows. So you should have just established nights.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, I was a kid. When a bar I like, you know, was cool with me coming in first off, like offered me a time slot, you know, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take it. I'll make it work. I'll make it happen. I guess I was just really overpassionate back then. But yeah, like I definitely remember back then there being tension as far as like when we booked shows.
If like you book a show on the same exact time and night as an established show, there like, will be tension. Absolutely.
The Baton Rouge market that small.
In a market, yeah. In a Baton Rouge market. We're not in Dallas. We're not in L.A. We're not in Vegas. We're not in Houston. We're in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, yeah, like the heavyweight capital of the world as far as comedy goes. So, but I get it, you know, in hindsight for sure, like, you know, there isn't a huge talent pool as far as like getting open micers there. But like now that I've seen it all come and go, like, Jesus, dude, to get upset over.
Oh, I know. Open I know mic. How silly it was. How stupid I was.
Like, oh, I'm no, like, these pack of comedians aren't going to buy drinks at this bar one night. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. I find that it was a crazy time for me back when I did stand up. And, you know, you have to, it's one of those things that you have to do it. You have to practice. You can't go practice in your garage like a band. You have to practice on stage in front of people. And so as you're getting good, as you're coming up, you're doing these open mics. And dude, I got to tell you, like open mic comedy, you meet legitimate crazy people, you know, like one out of every three is probably maybe got some talent and something there. The second out of every three people is like not talented, just, you know, but egomaniac. And the third is just like, it'd be a straight up legitimate fucking crazy
person. Oh, I love the smattering of characters that we got through the open mic scene. And I always felt terrible because I was also booking featured shows at the time. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'd use the open mics as, you know, a pool for my, who I'd book for the featured shows. I mean, that's just kind of, I guess how it
right,
worked,
how it works.
The scene being what it was. And the freaks and weird people, you know, the people who weren't necessarily putting in the work and weren't like really the funniest, but like we're just like I don't want to say lunatics, that's not fair.
There
but
was
like,
some they there were, was crazy people there was
oh
crazy.
Yeah, no, there were lunatics, no, right. There were lunatics, right. But the pack of characters, it was just kind of like, ah man, I can't put you in front of an audience, you know, like I love your shtick as far as like an open mic bit goes, yeah. But you know, and I hurt some feelings there too, man. I'm glad I was just discovering like alcohol at that time, because I could definitely see myself as kind of an asshole kid and an old small scene.
what got to me is like I got to the point where I was producing a couple shows a week. I was producing and booking and hosting a couple shows a week and bar shows. And what a lot of these like open micers, the people that you were describing, did not understand is that this is a business, right? So, the bar wants to make money. They're giving you that night because they want to make money. They're not doing it for charity.
There's nothing else better that could bring in money.
Right. But they believe that you're going to bring them money. So, the idea is to get people there and keep people there and not like not be entertaining and
alienate.
Send them home. Yeah, alienate them. Yeah. Right. And so I remember like the first break I got to do a feature spot at the Funny Bone on like 12 hours notice. And I was way too young to be featuring at the Funny Bone. I was probably 6 months into doing stand up.
Who did you feature for?
I featured for Howard and who was the girl? She was from Baton Rouge, but she lived in like L.A. and in Washington. A lot of her bits focused around the fact that her dad was an abortion doctor.
Oh,
she was a touring pro. She's from Baton Rouge. I can't remember her name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'd remember if I saw her name or her picture, I'm sure. Again, it was such a small scene. There were only like six female.
She wasn't. She wasn't like a low. I mean, she was from Baton Rouge, but she had already like gone to L.A. and been a pro. You know, she was a pro touring comic. So she'd come back and do shows at the Funny Bone, and Howard was either opening or hosting for her. And I went to the Friday night show and hung out with them all night and hung out with the owner of the bar. And about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, he goes, "Oh, do you want to get up tomorrow night?" "Yeah, you can get up tomorrow night." You're going to get up tomorrow night. But he goes, "But here's the house rules. No jokes about politics and no jokes about religion."
Oh, and I was man.
Because that's all I did at that time. That's all I had. All I did was that at that time. It was so stupid. And so, but it was.
But you took it again. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I had to come up with completely new material that night. It was terrifying. And, you know, it's a Saturday night at the Funny Bones. So you're doing two shows. There's an 8 to 10, right? And it was a night of LSU game. Remember, LSU was playing North Texas in Baton Rouge. I had some shitty opener about like Dr. Phil went to North Texas, you know, or something. I mean, it was bad. but because again, I couldn't use any of my stuff. I had to come up with completely new material day of the show. Like my closer was like a religious joke. There was political stuff all through it. Like, and yeah. I knew I couldn't do that. Like, he would, you know, that was the one rule that he made. And then the 10 o'clock show, the late show, is goddamn anarchy because it's an LSU home game. It's a LSU home game. So everybody goes, gets drunk all day for LSU.
Go see comedy after beating
and then
someone's
they're
going
to go see comedy after drinking all freaking day long. So, yeah. Dude, it was something.
I don't even know if we won that.
Oh, no. We won that.
Bro, I was willing to bet. That's why I said I was, you know, assuming, safely assuming. Yeah, that's cool that was your first featured gig, man. Like, yeah, once I was in the scene, it's kind of weird. I don't want to say nepotism, but it's kind of just a right place, right time. And you get these weird opportunities, you know, like just hang out with the right people, especially in stand up, and you'll potentially get those opportunities if you're not like a huge piece of shit or a weird freak.
Right. Yeah. You can be an alcoholic. You can be on drugs. Don't be violent. I think violence was pretty much the only thing that was forbidden.
Yeah. Oh, we had at one of our shows, I think the most violent thing we had happen one time, and you may remember this, but one of the open micers slammed down our mic. And for 3 months, we were running this mic with a microphone, one of those like metal grill ball tip microphones that was just flat on one side of it. And like that was the most, I think, aggressive it ever got with a comedian. But people at bars have been annoying. We've had to get confrontational keep an order at the show. But for the most part, the personalities who do comedy, the violent, aggressive people have been far and in between. And thankfully, I never really had much of an interaction with any. Yeah. So. But they're there.
They're there because it's all part of the crazy.
Yeah.
You know. All part of the crazy. What's the weirdest thing you ever saw at a comedy show?
So the weirdest gimmick, bit, on stage.
Anything.
Yeah. Gimmick bit. Yeah. So my favorite thing that I think I've ever seen at an open mic or a show that I've done, period, that just kind of fried my brain and was just what the fuck just happened? And you may remember this guy. I don't know if he's alive or dead still. Jesse Hawks. Does that name ring a bell?
Was he from Lafayette?
No, he was a Baton Rouge entity, and he lived somewhere down Government, and he would take the bus in to do an open mic, and he would regularly show up in a robe, and that was kind of his gimmick, was almost a Big Lebowski-esque thing. And he was just kind of free form, train of thought, he never really had jokes, but he brought things and maybe something written, but usually it was something tangible that would spark him to just go on a weird rant he thought about that day. And so it was even funnier that he would come on the bus. And I remember a few times he came with cardboard props. He came with a box one time. And that was wild. But he did several different things. I can't recall all of them, but my favorite one, and I don't remember the whole bit, but he came and did his weird thing. And then he pulled out at some point a bag of rocks.
Oh, wow.
And he was these are no. That would have been even that still would have been number one.
He literally had a bag of rocks on it in his rope.
It was a bag of like pebbles and stones made of earth.
Yeah, he took on the bus.
I'm sure he could pocket those. That was like probably the most minor thing he ever brought on the bus for public display. But he pulled them out at some point and were like, these are my bits. These are my jokes. And he would like pull one out and he'd like look at it and like, I guess the best way I could phrase this is like give it a little blessing and then hand it to just people in the audience.
Oh, I kind of like that.
He wasn't like telling it. He wasn't telling it jokes, but he was like, you could tell he was like willing funny into these rocks and then handing it to people. And he did that. And I like everyone, of course, like as a producer, I'm like, yep, that's an open mic. Sure.
Yeah.
But the guy who went up after was, this is very important. Greg Hamilton.
Okay.
Do you remember him?
I remember Greg very well. Yeah. I like Greg. Yeah.
He was a regular at Funny Bone. He was a regular host.
The host at the Funny Bone. Right.
Yeah, very polished. Very,
and a strip club DJ, very too. Very a strip
yeah,
club DJ.
Yeah, that too. And his voice. Oh, he has the creamiest voice.
Yeah, he's got a dude. Voice. That dude's voice was insane.
So it was a very stark contrast to go from Jesse, who did like
handing
performance
out
art. Yeah. Avant-garde comedy performance art. That's what we'll describe it as. It wasn't stand-up comedy. It wasn't a stand-up bit. So I'll give him that. I'll be nice there. But he did that. And then Greg, and I didn't know this. When we were planning the lineup, because that's what we did at the open mics back then. We wouldn't just do it by random. We kind of like plan like who goes next.
Sure.
And we knew that whatever weird shit Jesse did, Greg would like be able to like bring it back to a more like, okay, this is a stand-up show.
He's a pro.
You know, he could bring it back to a stand-up open mic kind of tempo. But he was super polished, super good. He went up right after Jesse. And he just kind of like got up there and was like, just looked dumbfounded. And he was like, man, I had a set. I was going to do comedy, but I don't know what to do after that.
Yeah.
And this is the golden moment. Jesse, dear sweet Jesse, wandered, like scampered from the back of the room up to Greg and handed him rocks.
He handed him jokes. Here, take these jokes.
He was like, I got you, brother. And Greg just like took the rocks, and then he was like, well, that's my time.
Yeah,
I'm done. And like that was the most like, and it was just the most beautiful non-planned comedy moment I think I've ever seen at an open mic. Like it was just too perfect. Like,
I remember you remember Mind Drug?
Oh yeah, I love Mind Drug. I love his art. Have you seen his most recent art?
Yeah, he's an amazing artist. He's a fascinating guy. I ended up Mind Drug was probably like an 18 or 19 year old black guy, lived at home.
Set the stage for who he was back then.
he was my like favorite for a long time because of the unpredictability factor. Like sometimes he'd wear a Phantom of the Opera mask,
Jason Voorhees mask. I remember wearing the mask thing.
He had like a WWE
and he brought a teddy bear or something.
He'd bring a teddy bear on stage. And he and I developed like a friendship, which was weird because he wasn't into drinking or drugs, and most of the people that were into drinking or drugs were automatically my friend, but he wasn't. He didn't do either of those things, but I really, really liked him a lot. And it was funny. I remember we were like Xbox friends or something, right?
Yeah.
On Xbox. And I'd be watching like B movie or something with my kids, and like Mind Drug would pop up. Hey motherfucker, let's play Madden. And I'd be like, oh, like it was just great. Like while I'm watching like, stuff. But I remember one time
he was so sweet, dude. He always wanted to collab and like work together and like be creative. Yeah.
He was talented. And artistic. And I just remember like one time we were at Phil Brady's back of the room. He's on stage. I'm hosting. So I got to keep getting up and down and up and down and up and down, dude. And I don't know. I don't even remember the context. It was like, you remember white ladies? You ever seen a white lady so white? She got a purple vein in her titty. And just like the purple vein in her titty line blew the roof off of Phil Brady's. Like, I don't know, it shouldn't have, but it did. It's like a lady so white, she's got purple veins in her titties.
I remember his titty bits. Like, that's one of, like, yeah. I love titties, big titties, small titties. What I don't understand is the butthole or something. Like, that was one of his, like, one joke that, like, killed me. It was stuff like that, though. Yeah, sucks. Dude, Mind Drug was, he was one of those great, and I hate to say it, like, he's one of those people I just don't think we could ever, like, put in front of a crowd that, like, doesn't appreciate, like, comedy like that.
Oh, yeah, he could get up there. It was tough because he could get up there for, like, 10 minutes and entertain you.
Yeah.
I remember gave him a shot. I remember somebody gave him, like, a 30, you know, a feature gig, like a 30 to 45 minute set at the station or somewhere, and it was like, oh, this dude's gonna have to go 45. And yeah, and it was a lot of, it's a thing, it's the thing about comedy, you can put people in positions where they're not ready yet, they're not going to be successful, and
this is something wonderful that I've kind of, like, discovered later in my comedy journey, is that, like, there's so many other wonderful outlets for comedic expression.
Absolutely. And like
podcasts being one of the more accessible, but, like, I did improv for a while, and, like, I'm super into sketch writing, and, like, I do, like, voice acting and stuff, and, like, I produced stand-up shows for a long time, and I never did a lot of, like, stand-up personally, and that just wasn't my bag. I loved facilitating that. I loved having that, like, connection with, like, comedy. But, like, the stuff I was really into wasn't all that popular. I mean, there was only, like, one improv troupe in Baton Rouge.
I was not an improv guy. I never really got it. It wasn't my thing.
Well, fun, quick side note. The reason I started doing comedy is they needed someone to help do sound for an improv show outside of Northgate Tavern. So that's what I was kind of originally sold on. And, like, even at an early age, like, even back then, that's kind of like, oh, like, improv, what's this weird, fun comedy show? And that was at the Northgate Tavern, and that slowly turned into an open mic show because the crowd was reacting better to the comedians before.
Right.
So the guys who were, like, booking me for the sound to do this improv show were like, hey, can you just, like, run the mic for, you know, the open mic? And I was like, yeah, this is, like, I love being around comedy, and I stuck around long enough. So yeah, I was originally kind of sold on improv. That's what kind of got me into it. But, like, I love and appreciate stand up. I really do.
I do too. And I'm glad we had that. I'm glad that you and I became friends. So,
for sure.
Speaking of podcasts, now, dude, I am I've been on a hot streak with my sports wagering. I'm now up to 56. My record is 56-41 since the NFL season has begun.
Oh shit, you're doing all of them.
Yeah, I do a lot. No, I on an average week, I mean, like, early slate Sunday, I was like, oh, I don't see anything I like here. And then I have 11 bets. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I mean, I look at this and I go, ah, this isn't something. And the next thing,
you
know, like,
so you cap yourself to 11.
No, I go with as many or as little as I like. I got to tell you, on this recent hot streak that I've been on, I mean, I'm up something like 30 units over the last 2 or 3 weeks. But, like, I've really done well and gotten better with discipline. So, for example, I'll use last night's Saints game as an example. Okay. I don't really like to bet on the, I tell people not to bet on the Saints, and then sometimes I bet on the Saints, and I'm sitting here telling you not to bet on the Saints, and I'm going to recommend a bet on the Saints later, but don't bet on the Saints. But I looked at last night going into the game. I didn't feel comfortable betting on the line or the money. I didn't want to bet on the spread on the game. Didn't want to bet on the total on the game. But the props, the player props, get released, you know, a few hours before the game.
Yeah.
And these player props come online. And I've really been having a lot of success lately on one specific player prop. It's Alvin Kamara receiving yards. Take the over, right? And
Alabama covering.
Yeah. It's like that. I mean, he like quadrupled it last night. Like, it was 35 was the number.
Yeah.
Over under 35. He had that before halftime.
until Michael Thomas comes back, that's he's our best wide receiver.
Well, these numbers have been low because he had for the first time in his career a game earlier this year where he had zero receptions and zero receiving yards. So it's kind of offset the formula on that. Mm-hmm. And so to see Alvin Kamara on a game like last night where he's only they're only the number is 35 or 34 and a half, that's too easy. Now he had a 100-yard receiving game last night. I don't anticipate that that number is going to be as low, you know, for the Tampa game on Sunday, and we don't have that number yet. But, you know, the example is like, that's all I wanted to bet on. That was the only wager I made last night because nothing else appealed to me. The Alvin Kamara's rushing yardage was something like 96 and a half over under. I go, that's too much. He's not a consistent 100-yard a game rusher. That's not what he does. He's never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. You know what I mean? Like
No.
But
If I recall, I don't think I've ever seen him go anywhere. I mean,
he's
I'm
never
sure
gone
he
over 1,000 yards. Like he's never gone over 1,000. He has good combined yardage. I mean, he is what he is, and he's a 21st century style running back. Yeah. He's no Derrick Henry, but there's only one Derrick Henry. There's only one guy in the league that's getting the ball 25 times a game as a handoff. You know what I mean? There's usually
as
two.
He should.
When Christian McCaffrey, you know, they pound him into the dirt. But I mean, yeah.
But
you know.
Christian McCaffrey and Kamara are more similar than I would say Christian to Derek, though.
Oh, sure. But like, but McCaffrey gets overused. Yeah. And that's the scary thing about right now with the Saints, particularly with some running backs being down, is that, I mean, Alvin touched the ball 30 times last night. That's a lot. That's a lot in the year 2020. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm doing well.
Yeah, you saw the weather, though, right? Like, it kind of warranted it. Like, you know,
the weather cleared up. I was paying a lot of attention to the weather. I was like a damn meteorologist. I was a meteorologist yesterday. And it wasn't as bad as it was on Monday or Sunday night in Santa Clara. But, the previous night, to use your example of the bad weather, I took every single rushing over that I could on a prop bet. On Sunday Night Football, there were four of them available. I took all four, and three of the four hit without even thinking. Just went over rushing yard.
Was that weather?
It was based on the fact that it was a monsoon, and so you knew they were going to run the ball. Everybody, there's going to be no shortage of opportunities.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you check the weather, and like, it's funny that like, if you just do a little forward thinking like that, you can actually, it's funny you say that. Cause on DraftKings, there's actually like a Wild Weather Wednesday betting pool like every week.
Yeah.
And you just bet on the weather.
Oh boy. You bet on the weather. You can bet on anything. I'm all about it. I'm encouraged. Man.
Yeah.
Brian,
under 85 degrees in Seattle on Wednesday.
Would you describe yourself as a gambler? Do you do any sports wagering yourself?
So I guess my history as far as like sports gambling goes, I kind of got sucked into fantasy football real early, and I've been doing that for almost a decade. So I originally would just, bet on that. Like, you pay your fee and you do fantasy football. But only this year with the advent and coming of DraftKings in our area have I started to get into sports betting. And
we don't even talk about talk about daily fantasy here, though. I got daily fantasy.
Well, I don't do necessarily the
daily fantasy makes me want to go bang my head through a glass window.
I'm really not enjoying daily fantasy as much as I am just regular like season long fantasy. I feel like I can get a little bit more of like personal investment out of like having a team all year and like fixing that team rather than just like trying to pick the best stats of the week, because you never know who the fuck's gonna blow up. But like, I've really enjoyed the pools. So like, I've really enjoyed like a lot of like these weird over under prop bets. Like, WWE's partnered with DraftKings, so I've done some of their bets. I really like the tennis pools that they do because I understand tennis. So like, I'm just kind of getting my feet wet in sports betting. I understand the general mechanics of what's going on. I definitely understand like the language and like plus minuses and spreads and all that fun stuff. But as far as like how much money have I put into it? Not much, but I've made a nice little chunk off like free pools. So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's fun. Well, good, man. We're going to get into it. Let's start talking about this week's games. We got a big one Thursday night. The old adage of Thursday night football being two garbage teams is not going to be true this week because the Green Bay Packers are traveling to Arizona to take on the undefeated Cardinals. The Cardinals are a six. Some places you're seeing them at 6.5, -6.5. Some places you're seeing them at -6. The total on the game is 50.5. Man, I don't like. I don't know about this 6.5 against Green Bay. You know what I mean? But Devontae Adams is out.
Does he have COVID?
Devontae Adams is not going to play because of COVID. So, and then you also don't know what the fallout is for that too. What I've been seeing though, trend wise, is I expect this line. Like apparently, people are going. The public is all over Arizona. And what's going to happen is this line is going to grow and grow and grow. I think it's going to go up. I think you're going to see it higher than 6.5. I think you may see it at 7. And it's one of those things, again, I'll reference something that happened last week when the Saints and Seattle line opened. Saints were a 3-point favorite. Saints won that game by 3 points last night. It was right on the button. When the public got involved, they pushed that line to 5.5.
Yeah.
And then 5.5 is a whole different world than 3. I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but it is.
No. Oh, 100%.
I'm taking a wait and see approach on this game. I'm not really getting involved. Like I said, if this line continues to get bigger, if I see Arizona -7, Green Bay +7, I may jump in, but it's one of those I'm going to take a wait and see till right up the very last minute approach. Brian, what's your thoughts on Green Bay and Arizona on Thursday?
If I understand the COVID rules correct, Devontae Adams may very well indeed be vaccinated and just have to clear negative testing twice. So he could
test
play
twice in 48 hours.
I'm right there with you on the wait and see, but man, even with Devontae Adams, if we're just going to safely assume worst case scenario, he's playing.
He's not playing.
I'm so hype on the Cardinals this year. Like at 6.5, I think I would probably go ahead and lock it in.
Another thing that's happened, and you've heard me, the people, I say it on this show, and we saw evidence of it in watching the Cardinals play on Sunday. Man, Kyler Murray is a small human being for the NFL. He's not.
Drew Brees.
But Drew Brees didn't run around taking hits to the head every other play. Kyler Murray is awesome as can be through about week 10. By week 10, he's got an accumulation of injuries, little things that don't end up on the injury report, but just much larger men hitting him with their bodies and their helmets. I don't think he can make it all the way and be there in December and January where you need him to. I think he's great, and I think the Cardinals are great. And I think he's not too banged up now, but boy, you can see it. You can see it every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying as a Murray owner in several leagues. These words are shattering my heart knowing that this could be a possibility going into any playoff situation, but it seems like at Arizona, they're doing a good job of surrounding him with weapons. Like, I think they're trying to de-incentivize him to run because he can clearly chunk that damn thing, you know? Oh, yeah. The addition of Ertz, holy shit.
Yeah. They've like, got weapons.
I'm excited. Yeah.
They've got weapons. They're a fun team to watch. That's going to be a great Thursday night football game. I can't wait.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that game. If you assume Devontae's plan, I think I would lock in maybe even at 7 for sure. But like, I'm so hype for the Cardinals. I'm very hype on the Cardinals. But I would probably, if I was a betting man, take the wait and see is with you on that one.
I'm gonna wait to see if it gets to 7. I'm taking Green Bay. That's what I'm saying. I'm waiting for this line to grow, and then I'm gonna go with Green Bay. If it gets to 7, I'm going with Green Bay. Miami is traveling to Buffalo. This is another one of we had some really big spreads last week. This is another one this week. Buffalo is a 13.5 point. Home favorite hosting the Dolphins. The total on this game is 49.5. Brian, what's your thoughts at Miami versus Buffalo?
So I think Buffalo recently kind of got exposed, and I'm not trying to discredit Buffalo in any way, but Tennessee really opened the door and proving that they're not necessarily the hottest defense in town. And I like Tua, man. I wish they would figure out the Deshaun thing. That's given me headaches, because at any day, like, shit could be announced with Miami and that, and then that would just de-incentivize Tua. But, like, if we're going to assume, you know, Tua's playing and he's going to be the starting quarterback, I would take Miami to, you know, beat that. Like, I think they would cover that. Just because what I've seen with Tua and Waddle recently, finally getting to see them together, has been fairly impressive. So I think they'll give the Bills a run for their money, even at home. Yeah, I'd lean Miami on that.
Miami's in cover. That's not a bad idea. I mean, the Bills are a strong team. Tennessee's exposing a lot of people right now. Look, Tennessee. Yeah. We're going to talk about Tennessee in a minute, because I'm a big Tennessee guy. But I don't like these big spreads, man. Three of the four big spreads covered last week. The Rams didn't. The Rams didn't cover against the their big fat spread over the Lions. But you divisional rivalry. It's a divisional rivalry. I don't like these big spreads in these divisional rivalry games, but I can't bring myself to bet on the Dolphins under any circumstance, because I don't think that Tua is that good of a quarterback. Hopefully we'll have some kind of resolution by November 2nd, November 3rd. The trade deadline is coming up.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to shit or get off the pot, right?
Yeah. This year, I just feel like Tua doesn't even have a solid enough sample size. Like, I've enjoyed what I've seen recently in the last game, you know? Last game or two, he's shown more promise than I think people were expecting. I think it's at least press the brakes on any Deshaun talk. Like, let's give this kid just one more. Let's see how he does one more week.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see. Philadelphia is traveling. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, what do the rich billionaire owners of NFL morals allow?
It's very simple. What the rich NFL billionaire owners will allow. When your talent outweighs your crime, you're good. It's money, brother. It's all about money. The Houston thing is weird, because Watson requested this trade right about the same time this stuff started happening.
Fair.
It was weird. Like, the two aren't.
There's a little bit more going on. Yeah.
Well, Houston's a shitty franchise. He wants to get out of there. He realizes that it's bad ownership, bad management, bad everything. You just don't want to – you get stuck there, dude. You don't want to sign these big deals, be there for he's got no – I mean, Houston is ridden of talent. They have no talent right now. Their roster compared to all these other rosters are insane. And I don't blame Deshaun for wanting to get out of there. I believe that you're innocent until proven guilty. The NFL, all these professional sports leagues, it's – when your talent outweighs the crime, it doesn't matter. Okay, Tyreek Hill can choke a pregnant lady because he runs a 4.24.
Kareem Hunt did punch a lady, I believe, or something.
Yeah, he kicked her in the head. Yeah, he kicked her. Yeah, I saw that.
I feel you. I guess we'll find out soon in that regard. So, but yeah, for right now, yeah.
But then one that's a head scratcher. You know that same thing I just said? It's a head scratcher. I was reading some articles completely off topic. I was reading some article on ESPN today where some, like the Chicago Blackhawks back in 2010, they had a guy that just watched film for them. That was his job, was to watch film. He was like a film coach.
Sure.
Was sexually assaulting the players. He was like trying to rape the other dudes. And they covered it up in hockey, and they covered
the dudes
it up.
Who were like known for fighting and like beating the shit out of athletes.
Some weird pervy video manager is trying to bang the players. He's trying to finger Jeremy Roenick or something. You know,
that's not good.
No, and and they covered it up.
Jesus.
So that same thing I said, where the talent outweighs, because I'm reading this one today, and I go, y'all should have fired that guy like before the fucking coin hit the ground. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that guy should have. Like, they covered it up, and so now in the year 2021, the guy that's the general manager of the Blackhawks was affiliated and still involved back in 2010. He got fired for not firing the guy today.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, everything is so easy, but like you're right. Right now, I think if you're dealing with what is and isn't, you know, there are plenty of good landing spots for Deshaun, Miami being one of them. And yeah, that could change any second.
Yeah. Well, at first, well, I guess for, until the next I few only months, want. Yeah. I only want to go to Miami. And then his agent or somebody was like, dude, that is a stupid thing to put out there. Let's not put that up. So now you're talking about Carolina all of a sudden. Oh, Sam Darnold's not the answer, huh? Sam Darnold's not the answer, Carolina. Too, yeah. The Eagles, they got all these teams that want Deshaun and they're asking a lot for him. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, sorry to derail you on that topic of current sports morality, yeah, it's
okay.
I guess.
It's okay. The talent outweighs the crime, brother. Philly's traveling to Detroit. Man, Detroit's a 3.5 point home underdog. The total on this game is 48. Now, Philly is not good. Detroit is not good. Dan Campbell is getting crazier and crazier every week as the head coach of the Lions. I've got this game circled at 3.5. At Detroit getting 3.5, I'm all over this game. Detroit's going to lose. If Detroit's going to lose, it's going to be some heartbreaking 3 point or less loss, like it feels like it's been almost every week with them. And they're at home. It's time for them to win a game. And if they don't win this game outright, I feel very, very, very comfortable about them covering 3.5 against Philadelphia. Brian, you got any thoughts on Philly and Detroit?
What did you say the total was?
Total's 48.
See, I'm not comfortable on the spread. Mm-hmm. These are garbage teams I'm not quite paying much attention to, you know? So I can't, the only thing I would feel confident on is going under that total. Like,
yeah, I think that's a smart,
I mean, that's, I don't, I think that's the only thing I would confidently do.
I don't generally,
because you're right. It could be 10 to 13.
Yeah. Like a Saints game. Yeah, I don't generally approve of taking unders, but I think it's the right play on this one if you were to take any kind of position, because Philly can't move the ball. Detroit can, but Philly really can't. And it takes two teams to get to 48. You know, it really does. Mm-hmm. Neither of these teams is getting there by themselves.
So. Yeah, the total's a team effort. No pun intended. Right. I guess.
I really, really like Detroit plus 3.5. And I think we call that half, that 0.5 on the three, we call that the hook, Brian. We call that the hook in the gambling world. That's the hook. I really like the hook there. If the hook wasn't there,
gets probably, in.
Probably a whole different ballgame. All right, next one is my game of the week. The one that jumped right off the page to me and went. In fact, this is one that it feels like a trap because it is just way, way, way too blatant. These are the ones that I usually load up on and go heavy. And Sunday afternoon, I'm lamenting my stupidity. But Tennessee is traveling to Indianapolis, and Tennessee is only a 1 point favorite. Now, let me tell you about Tennessee. A couple years ago, I was, for work, spending some time in the general Memphis area for a few weeks. And I went down to Tunica. It was like right around the NFL playoffs. And every Sunday, I'd go down to Tunica where the casinos are, and I'd sit in the sports books all Sunday. And it felt like I spent two or three Sundays in a row watching Tennessee just grown-ass man some people. Oh, and that's – I mean, Tennessee, I love – Vrabel as a coach. I love Derrick Henry. They've added weapons on offense. You know, the Dome Patrol crew and I, we're all going to Nashville to see the Saints play the Titans next month.
Ooh, hell yeah.
And when we circled that date, I'm like, dude, by that time of the season, Tennessee is going to be meat grinding.
Firing.
And that's what they are. I mean, they held – Tennessee's defense has been a little overrated coming in this year. Their defense has not been impressive. They're coming off a game where they held the Kansas City Chiefs to 3 points.
All right. So I hear you, but how much of that are we going to credit to Patrick Mahomes completely losing his mojo this year?
Blame it on Pat Mahomes' mom or his sister or his girlfriend or his brother. Or, I don't know.
Blame it on that fat paycheck that he can just check out for the next 10 years.
I don't know that that's it. I mean, Kansas City is clearly regressing to the mean.
Yeah, something happened in Kansas City.
Their coach is old and has an alcoholic son that killed people the week of the Super Bowl. And, you know.
I shouldn't laugh at
that. No, well, it's what happened. He didn't kill. He maimed a child for life.
Yeah, it was reckless.
Yeah, it was horrible. And then they got exposed. You take out the offensive. If the offensive line doesn't perform as they should, nothing else matters.
Well, say the best defense is a good offense. And right now it seems like Tennessee's offense is putting the pressure on everybody. And like, that's a lot to ask of the Kansas City defense, you know?
I feel like Indy is overvalued. I feel like Carson Wentz is overvalued week in, week out. And this is me. I mean, I am going a little heavier on this game than I am on anything else. This week, but Tennessee only giving up 1 point on the road to Indianapolis. Just, man, I'm all over Tennessee. And this is one of those, like I said, what am I missing? This feels like a trap. It's just too damn blatant. Total on the game is 51. I'm not even really fooling with totals a whole lot this year, but I feel Tennessee -1 feels like stealing.
I heard you correctly. Tennessee is -1.
One point.
That's correct.
They have to win by 1 point.
Yes. I think you're ridiculous to not take that. Tennessee is on fire. Like, Jonathan Taylor's looking good, I guess. But, like, I mean, that's just a running back on a team. But, like, all of Tennessee seems to be clicking right now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, to 1 point, are you kidding me? It's win or lose. like who wins by 1 point?
I don't think it's gonna be a 1 point game in this one. I really don't. I think they're gonna win comfortably.
Yes.
Next game is gonna be the Los Angeles Rams traveling down to Houston to take on the Texans. Mm-hmm. Rams are a 14.5 point favorite in this game on the road. 47.5 is the total. Rams had a big spread to cover last week. They did not against the Detroit Lions, who came shot out of a cannon, kicking onside kicks, fake punts, anything they could do. Rams still comfortably won, but didn't cover. I don't think that Houston has that kind of fight, right? And last week I got duped into thinking Houston could cover 18.5 against the Cardinals. No.
Yeah.
And they couldn't.
I like that. I like the Rams. Like the Texans, hot mess over there in Houston right now.
I don't normally like spreads that big. So I'm going to lay off. But I mean, because 14.5, I don't know. That's just a lot, man. I know they suck, but you know, 14, you see these backdoor
13 covers. And a half would have been great. 13.5 would have been great. Oh yeah. What was your question? Sorry.
Well, I mean, it's just these big spreads. They're susceptible to these, what we call a backdoor cover. So like last week, Houston, I got them against the Cardinals is a losing bet that I made last week. They were 18. That line grew to 18.5. They were 18.5 point underdogs. Look, a team can be down 21 points. That's a severe that's calling off the dogs in the fourth quarter of an NFL game. Mm-hmm. And then just bloop, kick a field goal. And now you're down by 18. That was my thought process last week. Of course, you have to be in a position where you're only down by 21 and they were down by 26, which, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't like these big. This isn't Alabama. You know what I mean? It's not Bama playing Vanderbilt here. This is two NFL teams. I understand Houston is maybe the worst team in the league. There's three really strong candidates for worst team in the league, but I'm staying away from a 14.5 point spread. I'm gonna let you have all of that one.
Yeah, I have more faith in Houston's poo garbageness, and the Rams would look good this season. Yeah, I'd take that. Yeah, I think they're gonna go. Man, if it was 14, I'd feel a little bit, just like 13.5, 14, I'd feel a little bit
that
more.
That hook got you, that hook.
Yeah.
The hook, Brian. Yeah. Watch out for that hook.
Yeah, they snatched me on that.
Got that hook on there.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
I got hooked.
Woo. Hey, are we all Cincinnati fans I like this. Now? Don't we all love the Bengals? We're all just the biggest Bengals.
If you're from the area, yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'll tell you what. There's something to take Tua and Jalen Waddle. Played together at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. Played together at LSU. Jalen Hurts, Devontae Smith. Played together. It seems like a really smart thing to do when you're investing in one of these young quarterbacks with like a first round draft pick or some capital.
Give them their favorite weapon.
Go out and get the guy that they fucking dominated in college with, right? Go out and get the other guy that was part of their five star class. I mean, like,
it's working.
It seems like a pretty basic but effective thing to do. Cincinnati, get this, Brian. Cincinnati is a 10-point road favorite taking on the hapless Jets, who signed Joe Flacco today. They're going to be without their Mormon kid for a few weeks now. Man, the Jets are bad. I like betting on the Jets because I'm a sadist, and I think it's cute to like lose on purpose sometimes, and that's what I did with
the Jets
last week. I think Cincinnati's going to cover this game. I feel like I'm probably talking myself into a Cincinnati wager as we're sitting here right now. I did not have this selected before, but I'm going to go ahead and grab it now. Cincinnati minus 10 on the road against the Jets. Total on this game is 43. Feels a little bit low, but once again, Cincinnati would need some help, and I don't know where they're getting it from the Jets.
I love Cincinnati. I think a lot of people locally do. For a while now, there's been a weird Louisiana-Ohio connection as far as like football goes. But yeah, Cincinnati is kind of like, I'm going to kind of lump them in there with that Tennessee team there that's just starting to get all gears firing. Like they're operating on all cylinders right now, and you know the Jets are the Jets, and what's even worse is now the Jets are banged up. So
a banged up Jets.
Yeah,
10 feels generous. 10 feels like stealing, but it's Cincinnati. Yeah. but it's dominant Cincinnati. Ja'Marr Chase, rookie of the year, huh?
Oh man, dude, man, he might be up for like, and I've heard this, like maybe MVP of the league. Yeah, yeah, maybe MVP. He might very well take whatever the wide receiver honor award is for sure. Like he's phenomenal. If he doesn't win rookie of the year, I'm gonna be surprised.
He's got rookie of the year. Yeah, provided
if I was gonna bet on him to win something, rookie of the year. But like, yeah, like I could believe him taking an even higher grade honor for sure.
San Francisco is traveling to Chicago. Chicago is a 3-point home underdog. Now, this one's – Chicago's bad, man. Chicago's worse than
– but that Chicago defense.
Oh, what? I don't know what you're talking about. San Francisco can run the ball when they want to. It was maddening watching that Sunday night football game between the 49ers and Indianapolis last week. And they're in a – goddamn monsoon, and it's like, and both teams are having success running the ball. Now obviously as I shared earlier, I'd taken the over on every rushing prop in the game, but I'm going like, why don't y'all just keep running? I mean, y'all can run the ball. You can run the ball easily. San Francisco has a very, very inventive, fun running plays that are very effective. Doesn't matter who is the running back. They're just effective at running the ball.
So San Francisco puts a sour taste in my mouth as a fantasy owner because I just cannot rely on their running backs. Like you're making a point for me to dislike them in fantasy. But yeah, a point to your case here, San Francisco's very good as a team running the ball.
Yeah. Chicago, dude, this Fields is going to get murdered back there. It's almost like you got to take him out. I mean, I know Nagy's on his way out of town. He's like, hell, I'm going to play, you know, this guy and get him in. But their strategy originally when they were like, no, we're not going to, they need to go back to that. I know I was critical of that weeks ago, but this guy just, he's going to, he's going to be broken. This season for Fields, it's behind that nothing offensive line, they're going to break him. He's going to be broken. I mean, look, Peyton Manning had a horrible rookie year. Horrible rookie year. Troy Aikman looked like shit the first 3 years of his career.
Yeah, that's why we probably wouldn't have bet on him when they were rookies.
Right. Bro, I don't like Chicago getting a three here. I really, really like San Fran minus three on the road against Chicago. Total on the game 40. That's pretty low, but that's, I mean, you're talking about a low scoring game here, but yeah, I really like San Francisco only having to give up 3 points. If this game had taken place 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and everybody's still riding so high on San Francisco, I mean, their capital is a little bit down coming off a nationally televised loss to Indianapolis in a just a very odd game due to the weather. I feel very comfortable San Francisco minus three on this game. I'm going to make that an official pick as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to get a comfortable lead and be able to run the ball and stay comfortably a touchdown or two ahead potentially. I don't like that. I don't like that total. That feels like a trap right there. I don't see it being high scoring. Not in Chicago.
Next game I want to talk about is Washington football team traveling to Denver to take on the Broncos. Denver's bad. Denver's real bad. And they shouldn't be. It's a coaching thing. This is Vic Fangio's done. He's dead man walking. Denver's just losing to teams they shouldn't be losing to. And the only teams they've beat are garbage. Washington football team always has some spunk. You know?
Yeah.
It feels like they fight.
They're scrappy. They definitely have a chip on their shoulder, all things current climate and all things considered surrounding the Washington football team. But I like the pieces they have. And, you know, even at tight end, Ricky Seal Johnson stepping in for Logan Thomas, I've been able to take advantage of that in fantasy. When I say, you know, like the Tennessee Titans and Cincinnati are like operating full gear, like all cylinders, it feels like Washington's kind of like maybe stuck in third.
Yeah,
that's like it feels like they're in third and they're like, how do I get it in fourth? How do I get it in fourth? And
they need to go get a quarterback. I mean, look, little Heineke kid's fun, but he's not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not an NFL quarterback. They need to go get it. They start by finding a quarterback. You know, Haskins shut him back.
Oh, you know, Deshaun. Honestly, now that I'm saying that, Deshaun in Washington would probably be like the like least of his problems. Like, I can go there. There's like plenty of other scandals.
They're not allowed. The NFL is not allowing. They're going to be like, oh, y'all are already too fucked up and dysfunctional. You can't have you can't have the dude that tries to seduce all the massage therapists
team. Birthed the too many scandal rule
for NFL Goodell will do some shit like that. Like, sorry,
you can only have two scandals a season.
No, he goes there. Scandals. We're gonna have to get into his emails. That's just not gonna end well.
Yeah. Two media outbreaks. Two leaks a year.
He can't go to a football team with the scrutiny that makes me smile. The thought of Deshaun Watson going to the football team. I don't think he's going there.
But they need it. Could you? That team would be legit good, with a Deshaun level quarterback, because Antonio Gibson's fantastic. Who is it? Scary Terry's on that team.
Yeah, he's good. Right? He's fantastic. Yeah.
He had fantastic pieces. Week. Fantastic pieces.
I don't think that the massage therapists are plentiful enough in the greater DC area for Deshaun.
You don't think with all those senators that they have a good scene?
I think it's like old money locked up, bro. Yeah, like David Vitter. You know what I mean? Like after David Vitter got caught wearing a diaper, you know what I mean? Like it was...
Who doesn't, you know?
Right.
What was the spread on this game again?
3. Denver is actually a 3-point home favorite. Washington
really?
Plus 3 on the road. So if you choose football team, you're getting 3 points.
Okay, no, Washington is going to beat them.
But I think...
I'm going to call Washington, even at home, you know. I think the Denver defense has always been a threat, but I think Washington has the pieces to overcome that even at home for Denver. So yeah, I think they'll win. So yeah, hell yeah, I'm gonna go with Washington to cover that.
Next game I want to talk about is I believe this is gonna be the Monday night football game next week. Is the New York Giants are traveling to take on the aforementioned Kansas City Chiefs. Now look, it goes without saying that Kansas City doesn't cover. Spread on this is 10. Kansas City's a 10 point favorite.
But they could. All right. Here's a question for you. Did you watch Kansas City's last game yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched them.
Do you think Mahomes got concussed?
You know, honestly, I've got a weird take on that. I think he could have gone back into the game. I don't think Andy Reid was bullshit. I think he got cleared on the sideline because it looked bad, mm-hmm. but also I think he's a little bit dramatic. I think his body language sometimes on the field is a little bit. He kind of went dead fish there for a second. He did. I think he got knocked out.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, but I don't know that it was a full blown concussion.
Yeah.
Really, he went into the blue tent, and within 5 minutes, like he was very, very lucid on the side. Like he looked like he was all together. So it was scary, scary. I legit think he could have come back into that game. It was made no sense to put him back in. They were down. Whatever, 38-3 or something.
Yeah,
6 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was bad.
No point with back.
Yeah, I think it made sense to keep him out, but like, man, I was legit worried. I have him on one of my leagues, so I loosely keep up with him. It does sound like he's fine and good to go, but like, Jesus Christ, man, I'd have been okay if he would have taken a game or two off after that. But as far as this game goes, dude, Jesus, man, New York sucks and the Chiefs are questionable, but. They have the best weapons probably in the NFL at any moment. Like Tyreek Hill could put up 3 touchdowns in a quarter. I mean, what's the total on this one?
10. Well, the total is 52. Oof. Here's the thing, Brian.
Oof.
Kansas City has covered the spread in 2 of their last 15 games.
Man, and it's at Kansas City, and
it's
like
at home, they'll be at home.
Oh, man! Just to be a sporting man, Monday Night Football. I'll take the Chiefs to come back strong. Like that was an embarrassing loss. I think they're gonna try and prove a point. I think there's potential there to beat that 10 points. Yeah, I'm gonna go Kansas City.
I like the Giants plus 10 all day, all day. That'll be fun Monday night. That'll be a real fun one to watch. And then finally, we're going to talk about our beloved New Orleans Saints.
Oh.
And our beloved New Orleans Saints have got a big, prominent Sunday afternoon nationally televised game with Tampa and the Toms coming to town. Mm. Now, I actually saw this line was taken down somewhere. One of the books that I used today, I could not figure out why, but I went and looked everywhere else. It was still up. Tampa is a 5-point road favorite in this game. So Tampa's coming in -5. It's the, I think it's like the first time that Tampa has been favored over New Orleans in a while at home. Look, I've learned my lesson, relearned my lesson this year that I don't want to bet on the Saints. I don't want to let my own internal biases get in. The total on this game is 50. I do think that we're going to see some points in this game. This feels like the game that hopefully our offense can kind of get it together. Our defense has been amazing and outstanding, and the offense still feels like it hasn't really gotten to its full potential yet. Now,
well, Traquan just got back, so he's knocking the rust off, and that's good.
And he looked rusty. He did look rusty.
And is Michael? Do you know what the status
Michael
is?
Thomas
Michael
will
Thomas
will not be available. Michael Thomas still not even practicing yet. He will not be available for this game. I don't believe that Michael Thomas is ever going to put on a Saints uniform again.
I'm gonna deal with it. I'm not going to even acknowledge that that point because
CD Deuce broke Michael Thomas. He broke him. He broke him. When they had that fight.
Yeah. But at the same time, man, like, you know, you lose your quarterback too. It's kind of, I don't know. It does feel like the writing's on the wall for Michael. Man, I hate betting against the Saints.
Well, you don't have to.
But like, all right, is Gronk playing?
No, I don't think
Gronk's going to play. I don't think that matters too much.
Let me tell you my plan on this game, okay? Look.
Yeah.
I don't expect the Saints to win. I don't expect the Saints to cover. I'd like for them to.
I like a Kamara prop bet.
Oh, we're going to be all over the Kamara prop. We're going to take Kamara receiving yards as long as it's not over 100 when it comes out. Yeah. Here's what I do like, though. I like, just for fun, and again, I'm going with this, no expectations. I'm placing this bet with the expectation of it losing. I'm going to bet the Saints money line, meaning that's just straight up to win, no points involved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Saints money line on this game, Brian, is +195, meaning if you bet $1, you're going to win $1.95 and be paid $2.95. Yeah. If you bet $100, yeah, you're going to win
$195.
Paid $2.95. I like the money. I like this to put a little bit, there's something a little fun over
like
here
that
on the Saints money line at +195. And then if we get that Halloween treat of a Saints victory, you just got a little double your money on that.
I like that. I do appreciate I would rather just flatly bet Saints win at home. Saints win at home. I don't think I could get too technical with this because the Buccaneers have been really good, to say the least.
It feels like the Saints have a 50-50 shot of winning this game. I don't worry about the Saints.
Yeah, so I think a 50-50 bet to double your money, like, hell yeah. Like, that's... Yeah, this would be a minor bet for me.
It's almost 2-1 odds, yeah.
Yeah, I think I would personally stay away from any spread or a total bet on this. And, yeah, I'd probably just do straight money line. Like for a win on the Saints. And that's just because I'm a homeboy. Honestly, if I was a Vegas person, I would probably be like, oh, you should choose the Buccaneers. Oh, hey, remember when I said a ferret would come in
you
here?
Had a ferret come in? Did I see the ferret?
No, I'll pull him up here in a second. You can see him. He's pooping right now.
Good.
Don't worry, I'll have to give him a treat.
My cat comes in and shits in the corner.
I'll take a happy Saints win. I'll be happy with a Saints win. This is Pepsi.
Holy mackerel. That's not the same ferret you used to have, huh?
No, they don't live that long. this is a new ferret.
Didn't your ferret have like a MySpace or something?
He had a Facebook that was pretty popular.
Okay.
Yeah. He blew up on the internet for a minute.
Brian, dude.
David.
This has been awesome. I'm so glad that we got to hang out. Is there anything that we didn't get into that you want to make sure that we get into?
As far as sports betting goes, man, I'm excited to finally dab my toes into it. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm betting on sports that I'm familiar with more so, like that being WWE and like tennis. And I'm doing well. Like, if you know the sport, it seems like you can do well.
Yeah,
you know?
That's part of it in theory.
And you just keep up.
Yeah. I hear you, brother. Well, look, people can find you. We can listen to your podcast on Spotify.
It's
NO Sports Podcast, correct?
Yes, that's at No Sports Pod on pretty much all social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And then we are on Spotify and iTunes. That's the No Sports Podcast. I say podcast with some redundancy. I guess you can just search No Sports, N-O, all capital letters. You don't need to put periods in between.
And you also, you guys do a live pod just about every Sunday from the bar formerly known as Mandeville Social. It's now what, like Mandeville Arcade Den or something?
Yeah. We do another podcast called WRYT, which is kind of like a
Where
New
yet?
Orleans NPR. Yeah, it's Where Yet. And it's kind of like a New Orleans comedy NPR. And I was just kind of like, well, you know, every radio station needs a sports guy. So I jokingly like did like comedy sports bits. And like after five seasons of doing that, I was like, well, I kind of want to take it on its own thing. And some of the things I've always wanted to do were host a live fantasy league because I love fantasy. So yeah, we do that every Sunday at the Hideaway Den and Arcade, formerly Mandeville Social in Mandeville. We do that once a week. It's a really fun bar league that, you know, we just kind of host a hour long podcast and live show around. I also have No Sports, which is a sit down talk show you did. It's more of like kind of an introspective look at why we love sports. It's the one serious show. And then I also do satire New Orleans local sports headlines. It's kind of a short form, just comedy writing thing. So we got a lot going on at No Sports Pod.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much. It's awesome to see you again. We're going to have to do this again. I think you and I have a really good rapport.
Hell yeah.
And we kind of see things the same way and go about it the same way. So look, dude, we got a tradition on the show. As we leave, I want you to say goodbye to all the beautiful people listening to Taking the Over out there in podcast world.
Goodbye, all the beautiful people out there listening to Taking the Over podcast.
And we'll see you guys next week. Bye. Peace. Later. Kisses, loves, hugs. Happy birthday, D. Bye.